We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night. The Hot Stove Check-In. Joe Giglio with you, Sports Radio 94, WIP, as we check in on everything going on around the hot stove, including JT Realmuto trade rumors, Sixto Sanchez's name being involved, the latest on Machado, Harper, and rule changes in baseball, which we will get to. And I think an interesting discussion we could have off of what is probably inevitable now with the National League acquiring the designated hitter sooner than later. Okay, let's start. I want to start with the Bryce Harper thing while we queue up the rumors around JT Realmuto. So Bryce Harper, who is still out there, obviously, along with Manny Machado, and the Phillies' sense of urgency here seems to be very little. They seem to be very content waiting and figuring out who's going to come to them and which how the money will kind of... They have the big offers. They have the willingness to go get whoever they want, but the Phillies don't seem interested at all in overpaying for either guy. So they're ready content to wait and just see what happens and see what offers they get back. So today, though, and the last couple days, more has come out about Harper and his market, which is evolving here. It started off as, oh, it's only the Phillies and Nationals. And then the Padres got a meeting last week. And now, apparently, the San Francisco Giants have found their way into the mix. So this story came out this morning. John Heyman had it. Also, Randy Miller, who covers the Yankees, ironically, up in New York. And Randy actually used to cover the Phillies. Randy covered the Phillies, I think, about 20 years ago. He was here in the Scott Rolen era. So Randy, you may know him or know his name. But Randy Miller covers the Yankees for NJ.com, had a scoop today that the Giants met with Bryce Harper, and he went on a radio station, 95.7 The Game, out in San Francisco, to talk about Harper, his interest in the Giants, their interest in him, and what kind of contract he might take out there.
I can confirm now that they did already meet yesterday in Las Vegas, and the Giants are serious. Harper's very seriously interested. It's going to come down to money. The Phillies have the most money to spend. From what I understand, Harper is not thrilled of playing there and preferred the Giants, Dodgers, or Cubs. If he didn't go back to the Nationals, they had a meeting with them yesterday, and I think that the owner and the GM and the manager were all present at this meeting.
What's a best guess as to what Boris will finally settle for?
I hear that Harper might take $2.70 or $2.75. I at this point, he's open to all options.
Are you hearing anything from Bryce's camp about concern about AT&T Park or Oracle Park, as it's now called, being a death valley for hitters?
I'm not hearing that that's an issue with him. He's trying to get paid. He's trying to go somewhere where he's happy, and it's going to be a compromise. If he goes to Philly, he's probably going to get the most money. I think he'd like to be on the West Coast. Ideally, he would like to go to Dodgers or Cubs. He thinks he can win there. That's probably not going to happen at this point. The Giants, they get Harper and add Adam Jones. All of a sudden, they have a formidable lineup. I think that they could be a contender if they make a couple moves here, and I think the Giants see that too.
Well, there's a lot there. I disagree with the end. I don't think Bryce Harper and Adam Jones would make the Giants a contender. I think that is a team that is pretty far away from contending, even if they add a Bryce Harper. But the $2.75 and being interested in taking a lesser offer is not what we've heard so far. We haven't heard that anywhere else. And the part there that we've heard, I guess through the grapevine in other ways, is that he may not be, head over heels for Philadelphia. I don't know what to believe from that, but I do know this. The market is starting to expand for Bryce Harper, which does not help the Phillies. It may not ultimately kill their chances at him, but it certainly doesn't help if there's more teams involved. So Harper and the Giants met, and we can add them to his list of suitors. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, the guest line. Joe Fusaro is going to join us. MLB.com covers the Miami Marlins, and he had a scoop today and a little piece of the puzzle today of the Phillies' interest in JT Realmuto. Joe, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Doing well. Are you exhausted covering this JT Realmuto trade rumor saga?
You know, through a lot of years covering the Marlins, I've dealt with a lot of major trades, but none that have literally sat there from October to less than a week to spring training. So, yeah, this is the unique one where I've never seen anything like it, where a guy has all this interest, and yet it hasn't happened yet. And if we talked last week at this time, it wouldn't even appear the Phillies would have been in on him. But that seemed to happen a few days ago, and now they seem to be heavily in.
It's interesting here, Joe, because it feels like every week of this offseason, there's a new team that, you know, I would guess would be the team that's going to get him, just the way the rumors start to really heat up. It was the Reds a couple weeks ago. It was the Padres at one point. It was the Dodgers for a while, the Braves early this offseason. Why do you think nothing has happened yet? Why all this interest, all this smoke, but no fire to any one particular team yet?
Well, I think it also is why I just heard you talking about Harper and then Machado. There's no deadline, you know, and deals get done at deadlines. And the new wave of you know, owners and GMs who are very cautious, there, if as long as there's no deadline, they feel no urgency to do anything. If there was a deadline, I'm fully convinced Realmuto would have been traded whenever the deadline was. You know, and I think the Marlins literally are kind of putting an artificial deadline of either Friday because Saturday Fan Fest or next Tuesday because Wednesday pitchers and catchers report. So I think they're the ones, I think, setting a deadline. They'll look and they'll see what the best offer is and you know, maybe try to squeeze another player out of somebody and then make the trade. But, you know, everyone's just kind of saying, okay, they're all sitting there waiting and looking. But, you know, this is a special player. I mean, if the Phillies land him, they dramatically change his balance of power in the National League East. It makes him so much more formidable. And if he were to go to, let's say, Atlanta, it flips it even harder for the Phillies to get to the postseason. So, and you know, I think there's like five or six teams in now, and I believe like the Rays are the only American League team. So, you know, if the Reds pull out, then all their offseason moves trying to get a little bit better, they're not going to be the second wild card. They're in a tough division anyway. The Padres wanted to close the gap on in the West, and if they don't get them, you know, they're in a good spot too. So it's interesting. Like you said, a few days ago, I would have thought, you know, the Reds were sitting right there after, you know, learning about Jonathan India and Tucker Barnhart being, you know, two pieces and more, that at least seemed to be getting the ball rolling there. But with Sixto Sanchez, if the Phillies part with him, and I'm not convinced they're not, you know, I think that they could be open to doing that, you know, along with Alfaro, you know, being two pieces of this. I think there's a very solid chance that something could get done if both sides want to kind of push that to the finish line.
Well, Joe, you reported that today that the Marlins would want Sixto Sanchez in this deal, and that is an interesting perspective here, because I feel like this fan base with the Phillies, we've been hearing about Sixto for a long time. He's not a guy that I don't think most people are happy to give up. Now, if they get the best catcher in baseball back, it's obviously worth the discussion and worth and maybe worth it in totality. But do you think there's any chance a deal could get done without Sixto Sanchez?
I was told no. I was told he's a must. You know, and I personally, I know he dealt with injuries, but I got up to Jupiter, like 70 miles from my house, so when I either wasn't on the road with the Marlins or had an off day, I'd go up and watch the Jupiter Hammerheads, their Class A advanced team. I saw them play Clearwater, face Clearwater, and saw Adonis Medina. And that guy, I would take that guy in a heartbeat. I think that guy is a stud. And he's, what, your fourth or fifth prospect. So, you know, that guy really raised my eyebrows and just looking at him. But it just seems like they're set on Sanchez after seeing this deal. Now, they could be firm on that because they may know, let's say the Dodgers are, you know, kind of laying low and they know what they're getting from L.A. You know, maybe they know they have something there, and I'm just using them as an example. Or, you know, maybe Cincinnati sweetening the pot. So I think they kind of know, for them to be that firm that he must be in this trade tells me they're convinced he's, you know, acquirable. Or they, you know, have another team lined up with a pretty solid offer that would take a Sanchez to kind of close the deal.
Joe Fusaro, MLB.com, joining us. He reported today that the Marlins would want Sixto Sanchez back in a deal here for JT Realmuto. Joe, you get a chance to watch JT on an everyday basis. You know, we've seen him a lot, obviously, in the division. I think at this point he's the best all-around catcher in Major League Baseball. But the one thing that I think is important for the Phillies or any team that would acquire him is how good he'll be if he leaves Miami. We saw last year Christian Yelich, his numbers exploded when he got out of that park and went to Milwaukee, became the MVP. Real Muto's numbers are great for a catcher, but do you think he could be even better if he got to, a hitter's park here?
No question. This ballpark does not, favor hitters. I mean, Stanton hit 59 2 years ago here, home runs. If he played anywhere else, it would have been 65. He might have been challenging 70. The ballpark just does not reward power. And, he did what he did last year slugging-wise on a team that lost 98 games, and he was the guy, this guy's a Veritek-type leader. He is a very special player, and that's why I think so many teams are in on him. He changes the culture immediately. He's tough. He was a former high school quarterback, had a chance to play college ball at Oklahoma State and be a quarterback there. This guy is this guy's not just the fastest catcher in terms of foot speed. He's one of the fastest guys in baseball in that top 11% in just running speed. He could, if he wanted to, he could steal 15 bases. He hits over 30 doubles 2-3 years in a row. In Philly, he might push 25 to 30, and he's playing. Last year he missed most of the first month because of a fluke injury in spring training, but he plays like 140 games a year too. So, and you could throw him at first base, not that he profiles there, but he's good enough to go and keep his bat in the lineup and go play first base, or if you did any double switching. It's just a really special player, and I think that's kind of being lost to some of the people who don't know it. Just like the people who didn't know about Yelich last year, how good he was because he played for Miami and he didn't get the fanfare. This guy, I think wherever he goes, I like that team's chances of going to the postseason. If that's the goal next year and the year after, is to get to the postseason, I really like the chances, and the teams that don't get them, the chances diminish.
Well, I think that's why I want to touch on last week here, Joe. Now, obviously, this is just kind of conjecture on both of our parts and just thinking this through, but there was some feeling here yesterday when all this news came out and the Phillies were back in that things were not going great with Harper and Machado, and this was kind of a fallback or a secondary type of move for a star player. The way I look at it is it's more of if the Phillies acquire Real Muto, I would think that they would be pretty confident they're getting one of the star players in free agency, because then it feels like they could really move their ability to win now up considerably if they get Real Muto and another player.
So let me just fill you in with this little anecdote. Bryce Harper loves JT Real Muto. And when the Padres a week or so ago were in on Real Muto, about that same time you heard that the Padres were meeting with Harper's group. And at the All-Star game, Harper put a Nationals hat on top of Real Muto's head during the introductions. In a game where the Marlins happened to beat the Nationals in Miami, JT hit like the game-winning hit, a little flare to right field, and he made like a great play in the field to a guy out. And after the game, Harper publicly said, if we had that guy, we would have won. So if the Phillies were to get Real Muto, it could enhance their chances of getting Harper, just because he's like, wow, these guys really are. Now, obviously, the moves Phillies have made him serious. But if they did that, that might even be more of a carrot to get, Harper to go to Philadelphia.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, we appreciate hopping on. I think everyone out there listening that was kind of on the fence about surrendering a prospect of Sixto Sanchez's caliber, when you said that, I think you pushed him over the fence. Everyone's going to ship him out of here. Joe, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll be reading and we'll be paying attention to what you have to say.
I just hope it gets done before I go to camp next week, but who knows? I think it will. So, hang tight, but I just kind of sense there's momentum going there. But again, this thing, like I say, all it takes is the Dodgers to wake up. It's a team that never trades prospects to step up and do it, and he's a Dodger. So, you just never know, but special player, wherever he goes, that team's going to be a lot better.
All right, Joe, we appreciate it, man. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
There he goes. Joe Fusaro, MLB.com. And,
all right. Sixto's in the deal.
You're done? You're out?
Listen, man, if we're getting Harper with Real Muto, come on. You can't not put Sixto in the
deal. I don't want to trade Sixto Sanchez for JT Real Muto.
I don't really either. He's one of my adopted children.
Yeah.
But
that was a pretty compelling. Now, I didn't know
it
that.
It felt like he was selling me on JT Real Muto.
I know. The guy was basically had a jersey outside the window here just waving around. Like,
it was crazy. I love it.
$45. I'll give it to you for $40. The anecdote he told there, I didn't know that one. I knew the story of Harper basically saying, if we had this guy on our team, we wouldn't have lost that game when he was upset at the Nats last year. I didn't know at the All-Star game last year, he put a Nationals hat on Real Muto. He loves the guy.
I just love that. Padres rumors? There's Bryce. Phillies rumors? Come on home, Bryce.
Yeah, there's some. There's obviously something to the connection of Harper and Real Muto. So we'll keep an eye on it. And I would love if the Phillies could get Real Muto without giving up Sixto. There's almost no combination of minor leaguers that I'm going to say no. Like I don't want to give up Sixto. And here's my reason. Real Muto has 2 years left on his deal. If he had 4 years left, yeah, I would take the best catcher in baseball for the next 4 years over the hope of a prospect. He's only got 2 years left, and catchers tend to decline pretty quickly. So,
but there's the DH to the NL thing, which if you want to put him at first, you could have Hoskins be your DH. It could work out, especially if he's going to be a 25 home run guy, 30 double guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous player. And last year, he really broke out. And you have the specter of get him out of Nationals Park, and maybe his offense just explodes.
Oh, you mean Marlins Park?
Yeah, right. Well, he wasn't actually National. Bryce Harper just wanted him to be one. Get him out of Marlins Park, and his offense could explode. Now, what Jack just brought up there, I think, is an interesting discussion we could have. 888-729-9494. So last night, Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan, they both reported that baseball and the players have come together and they have this major list of rule change proposals, radical rule changes around baseball, some of which I think is just really interesting more than it will completely change the sport. Some of it is penalties. If you lose a couple years in a row, you don't get the same kind of draft pick. One of it is the rosters in September, not at 40, but rather at 28, expanding the everyday roster to 26, so those kind of things. But the one thing that stood out to everyone last night were two things. One was a three-batter minimum for pitchers, which would seriously change the way Gabe Kapler and the Phillies manage their team, and every team really now in baseball now. But the biggest one, and the one I think we could talk about here, is the DH is going to come to the NL. That feels like an inevitability now. It's just a matter of how soon. And there was one thought last night from Ken Rosenthal that the players wanted it happen now, like as in the season that starts in 6 or 7 weeks. That probably won't happen, but the DH is coming to the NL. I think the fight is over, and I'm going to miss the strategy. I've come to really appreciate, as the years have gone on, the National League game and the strategy of it. Here's what I'm not going to miss. Watching pitchers hit, because it is just not fun.
It's not about pitchers hitting.
But it partially is.
Partially, but that's not the, like, National League Baseball is so great because of the strategy, because it's actually thinking. Having the DH in the NL is baseball for dummies. It is dumb baseball because people don't want to think the sport. It is embarrassing.
Well,
take the DH out of the AL. Make the sport way more fun.
No, well, come on.
It's ridiculous.
They're not taking jobs away from all those players.
If the minimum pitching thing, I think it would be better at 2, but 3 works. Just enough with a DH. Just because you don't want to think baseball doesn't mean you have to get rid of something that a lot of people
like. I don't want to watch pitchers hit.
It's not about pitchers hitting. But it's about a late inning adjustments. Me and you coming in here last year,
I know.
And discussing what does Kapler do with a double switch.
Right.
Like, that is interesting baseball.
I agree. I'm going to miss that part of it.
AL baseball is baseball for dummies. And honestly, it's not that fun to watch. It's like watching the Rockets every night.
Two things. One, the pitchers hitting has become a tune out. Like, remember when the NFL changed the rule and moved the extra point back? Because they found out, I guess through just data, and they realized people were just walking away from the TV or not consuming the television during extra points. It was automatic. Everyone knew the extra point was good 99.5% of the time, so you got up to go to the bathroom, and you probably missed the next commercial. And that obviously bothered the NFL because they don't want anything of their game to be something you don't have to watch. That's what the pitcher hitting has become. And Jack's point is well taken, and that's only a part of it. And pitchers really only actually hit one or two times a game because there's pinch hitting and starting pitch don't last that long. But those one or two times a game are tune outs. I don't have to pay attention. That's how bad pitchers hit now. As the years have gone on, it gets worse and worse. And it's the truth.
But it's always been that way.
No, it's gotten
They've
worse.
Always been bad hitting. Like, pitchers have never been great hitting. And listen,
you're right.
Just
but
as many
200
complete
versus 100 is a big difference.
There's been just as many complete games in the AL as there has been in the NL. There's been like less than a run a game difference in. There's been like 0.5 runs a game difference in the AL compared to the NL. It doesn't change the game that much.
It will change it though. I mean, it will change roster construction. It will change what kind of players you bring in.
The only thing that it would make the sport better with is pitchers would be able to go longer into games.
They would.
Theoretically.
I do think, though, if you're upset at the strategy leaving, which Jack is, if they do put the rule in with it that you can only have a pitcher has to face a minimum of three batters, that they're all of a sudden the strategy comes back. Like, bullpen strategy is changed then.
Well, I think that's interesting from the standpoint of you can see more of Eovaldi-like performances last year where, like, you have the struggling starter, put him in the pen. He can kind of be your, like, long men become more important than specialists.
Yeah.
Which I think would be good. And honestly, having more pace of, like, I think that enhances pace of play than more than anything.
888-729-9494, #9494, and your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phones. We'll come back. Your phone calls on all the stuff we've been talking about tonight. Foles, Tagum. I like this Tobias Harris trade for the Sixers. And a little hot stove baseball as well. Bryce Harper meeting with the Giants. The DH is inevitable now. I'm not going to miss watching pitchers hit. I will miss the strategy, though. And also the JT Realmuto rumors. I would not trade Sixto Sanchez for JT Realmuto. 888-729-9494. Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.